You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Launching Out into the Deep.
The series I have been teaching called Let's Go Deeper. Let's Go Deeper, or Going Deeper. And Matthew, the 13th chapter, starting at verse 3. And it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Everybody say deepness. Ask your neighbor, do you have any deepness? They sprung up because they had no deepness. We would say depth, but the New King James, rather King James Version says, no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no fruit, no root, they withered away. And what I want you to see here is that when Jesus tells this parable about the sower, and the sower, he's referring to himself, preaching, declaring the word of God. And the earth is the ground that is sown in. That's us. And then the seed is the word. But he talks about how some of the word produced and some word didn't produce. But then he specifically says in verse 6, or rather 5 and 6, the stony places where there's not much earth. It's not that it wasn't any earth or any soil there. It wasn't much. And so the seed sprung up because they had no deepness of earth or no depth, no depth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Now, if you don't really follow what he's saying here, you would think it was the sun that caused what should have germinated and sprung up to wither away. It wasn't the hot sun. Am I right? What caused it? Lack of depth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. So I want to give us a depth or deepness questionnaire tonight. How do you measure your depth? Just because you come to church, does that mean you have depth as a Christian? Because you shun die and speak in and out of tongues, does that mean that you have depth as a Christian? Because you shake your head like this. That's how we did it in the old Pentecostal church. And then you look deep. It looked like you're baptizing lemon juice. Glory, glory, glory. Okay. Does that make you deep? I think not. So let me give you this depth questionnaire, because it says that if there is no depth, there's no deepness, when the sun comes up, and the sun's going to come up, stuff going to get hot. Amen. But just because the sun comes up, you don't have to be scorched. And just because the sun comes up, you don't have to wither away. It's all based upon how much depth you have and how rooted you are. So the first question is, do you get scorched when things get hot? Do you get scorched when things get hot? When the pressure's on, do you rise to the occasion or do you shrink back? Do you keep coming to church or you start talking about, I'm going through something? I told y'all over the years, I've always heard that. But I'm sure y'all on here tonight, the people who do that, because the people who do that generally don't come out on Wednesday night. Because if you come out on Wednesday night, you're probably going to have a little more depth. That's the truth. I think, people think I say that just trying to manipulate people. No, come on. Let's just think about it. 52 weeks a year. If you come to church every Sunday, okay, you're getting the word. You're in an atmosphere to get the word, and in this atmosphere of fellowship, and in this atmosphere of having your soul massaged under the word and in worship 52 times. If you come again on Wednesday, that's 104 times. if you add another service to that where you're under the word, that's 156 times. So you can get the word once, you can get it twice, or you can get it three times as much. Now, if faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, don't tell me it doesn't make a difference how much word you hear. Okay? And by the way, y'all, I was on vacation recently. I did that streaming thing. I see how y'all get used to it. I deliberately put my feet out there. I'm sitting there watching. With my feet up. And my son said, Dad, you don't put your feet on. I said, no, I want the folks to see that I know what y'all be doing. Y'all be sitting there with your feet up. Okay, now me, I gave online, another offer was taken, I gave, the preacher said give another offer, folks ain't doing all that. And then there was also interruption, because that's on, but Pastor Marshall starts talking, I go in the kitchen and do this and do that, and then you come back. Come on now, that is not the same as sitting under the word, focusing on the word. Streaming ain't the same. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the word is going to determine how much depth you have, and the depth you have is going to determine what you can take in life. Let's back up to this scripture here, Proverbs 24 and 10. Oh, man. Because eventually your lack of depth or having no root, or as King James says, no deepness, is going to be seen as a result of your life experiences. Proverbs 24 and 10. I'm going to give it to you easy. Then they're going to slap you. And then they're going to kick you. From three different versions. Here's the easy version. Proverbs 24 and 10 from the King James Version. It said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I'm not calling you anything. I'm not calling you any name. I'm not making any judgment on you. I'm just reading what the word says. The word says, if you faint in a day of adversity, if you faint because stuff gets hot, if you stop coming to church, if you can't continue in the word of God, if you backslide, if you stop dealing with people, how are you going to go through life? I don't do people. Maybe people won't do you either. We got to do each other. It is not good for man to be alone. We are a body. You got to do people. Paul said, you can't go around and tell me, you the foot. I don't have no need of you. No, he said, the foot is needed. The arm is needed. The eye is needed. We are one body. And so if you faint in the day of adversity, you fall off, fall out, shrink back, backslide, don't come to church no more. Your strength is small. That's the nice version. Proverbs 24 and 10, New Living Translation. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. So just because you're under pressure, you don't have to fail. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. And here's the kick version, the Message Translation. If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Oh, you said you was deep. You said you were strong. But you go through Christ, you just fall to pieces. It says there wasn't much to you in the first place. So the first question is, do you get scorched when things get hot? Second question, to measure your depth. Can you withstand the heat from fiery trials? Now, the fiery trial is not the average trial. How many of y'all know some trials are hotter than others? Amen. Well, if you don't, keep on living, as Bishop Bailey would say. Just keep on living. Can you withstand the heat from fiery trials? And 1 Peter 4 and 12 talks about the fiery trial. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, the scripture really is a little bit redundant, but he's really driving the point. First of all, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial. What's the purpose of the fiery trial? To try you. Trials come to test you, to see what you're made of, to further develop you. Watch this. To expose the areas of your weakness so you can be developed more. So from one trial to the next trial, you ought to be getting stronger. You ought to be fortifying yourself, and you ought to be saying, no, devil, I won't ever go through that again. You won't ever hit me like that again. Or you won't, I won't ever react like that again, because that got exposed. I saw that that was an area of weakness, but through this trial, I'm strengthening, I'm fortifying myself that I won't fall for the same okie doke again. And then he says, as though it's some strange, thinking not strange as though it's some strange thing. Why me? Thinking not strange. Somebody in our church who had went through something, and they start realizing later that they were probably angry with God, and they asked God, said, Lord, why me? Why am I going through this? Lord said, why not you? Why not you? Thinking not strange that even you. None of us are exempt. I'm not exempt because I'm a pastor. Amen. I'm not exempt because you pray in the Holy Ghost. None of us are exempt from fiery trials. And as a matter of fact, the greater calling on your life, the more depth you need to have. See, a lot of people think that you want to be in the forefront. You want to be a leader and all that. And sometimes we can't even tell people everything. We can look at them and say, babe, somebody look at you funny and you ready to fight. You sure ain't ready to, come on now. You can't even rebuke low level demons. Joyce Meyer said, you trying to cast out demons. You can't even get authority over a sink full of dirty dishes. I didn't say that, Joyce Meyer, right? Her. I heard her say it. Can you withstand the heat from the fiery trials? As though some strange thing. It's not strange to be going through trials. It's not strange to be tested. It's not strange to be attacked. It's not strange to be under pressure. It's par for the course. It comes with being a Christian. It comes with growing. It comes with being used. It comes with being exposed. It comes with being on the forefront. It comes with leadership. It comes with it. Think it not strange. Job says this, Job 23 and 10, for he knoweth the way that I take. Job 23, 10. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knows. And so Job got comfort in saying, there's nothing, it's not strange. There's nothing I'm going through that God doesn't know. Nothing I'm going through that God doesn't see. It's not strange. Nothing I'm going through that God is scratching his head saying, I never expected this to happen to them. I didn't give them enough grace for this. He says, what? My grace is sufficient. Whatever you're going through, you got enough grace to go through it. Let me put it the other way. Whatever you're going through, you got enough grace to come out of it. Come on, everybody say, thank you, Lord, that I have the grace to come through whatever tests or trials that I'm going through. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. You got the grace to parent that child. You said God gave you that job. And now you got a project that looked like is stretching you too much. If God gave you that job, he knew the project that was coming. You got the grace to complete that project. You got the grace to push through the obstacles. He knows the way that you take. And when he's tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. So Job says, I recognize that the fiery trial is not to destroy me or burn me up. It's to refine me, which is question number three. Does the fire retire you or refine you? Does the fire of a trial retire you or refine you? Let me tell you what retired looks like. I'm sick with that praise and worship stuff. I'm sick with the music now. I'm just going to sit. I'm just going to sit down somewhere. I'm retired. Okay, now, I'm just going to come to church. I ain't going to be involved in ministry no more. Just come to church. You got retired. You got retired because you're tired. You're not supposed to, we ain't supposed to retire, supposed to get refired. Okay? So, does the fire retire you or does it refine you? James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy. Now, some scriptures you just read and you just got to confess it by faith. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Now, to really do this scripture the way it reads, it says, when you're going through tests and trials, you ought to say, whoa, yes, sir. Yes, glory to God, I'm being tried. The devil's trying to mess with me. Woo-hoo! Everybody say, help us, Lord. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. So in order for me to count it joy, the truth of the matter is I can't focus on what I'm going through. I got to focus on what I'm going to. Count it joy. Consider the joy that's going to be on the other side of this trial. See yourself out while you're going through. See yourself out while you're in. Now watch this. But in order to count it on all joy, consider it joy. Verse 3 says, I got to know some things. See, it's what you know that causes you to be able to go through with confidence. Y'all ever seen a movie that you've seen before and you already know how it's going to turn out? The first time you're like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Second time you watch with somebody, you sitting there watching, no, he ain't going to die. He ain't gonna die. See that rock right there? The reason why the camera went to that rock right there is because in a minute he's gonna find that rock. Then he's gonna hit him on the head. You already know how it's gonna work out. So knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, produces, develops patience, and patience is long suffering. Patience means the ability to stand up under pressure. Patience is steadfast endurance despite obstacles. So I know that this trial is going to further develop me. But let patience, in other words, you can't run from the trial. I found that out years ago. Can I tell you, the people that you don't do, you think is the person, it's that kind of person. So you say, I'm going to leave this job to get rid of that kind of, so I don't have to deal with those kind of people. And you go to the next job and the same kind of people show up. Because you can't run from trials. When God's trying to develop you and mold you, you can't skip over the test. You can't, you know, ain't none of that. It's one at a time. It's one at a time. And you can't get to the, no skipping grades. There's no skipping tests. You got to do one at a time. And so there's something that you need to develop you. You can run from it here and run from it in this city, run from it in this church. Can I tell y'all something? See, that's why the Bible says in the last days, people will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will run to a you'll run to a church to have a pastor only say what you want to hear. Only say, please don't say anything that's going to challenge me. Let me go on record again. I don't preach to one person. None of y'all are that significant individually. You are significant. You are not that significant individually that I'm going to take a whole message and preach about you. I need to bring you in and talk to you. And that's the devil that got you thinking you that important. Is it possible that whatever I'm preaching that's rubbing you is because you need to be rubbed? I remember years ago, Pastor Dwayne, when we were down on River Drive, he said he invited a friend to church or something, and church was a lot smaller, a lot more intimate. And so I would walk down all the time. And I'd walk down and he told his friend, he said, why you got to come down? Why you got to come down and stand there in front of you and stuff while you're preaching? Why can't you just stay up there? Then he said, "Why?" And then somebody else said, "And I don't appreciate you telling your pastor all my business. You invite me, you gonna talk about me, tell your pastor all my business, and then I come to church, and he gonna preach about right directly, you know, right to me." It wasn't none of that. God just knows what you need. He really is God. This is real, y'all. He knows what you need. And you can't run from tough words. You can't run from things that's trying to develop you, that's trying to make you. Oh, this is going to be real good here. Is it possible that the things your wife keeps telling you is stuff you really do need to change? And not that you just need to change this woman? Is it possible that your husband keeps telling you you mean? And you really are mean? You really are mean. And ain't he mean for telling you you mean? You mean all by yourself. And another husband ain't gonna stop you from being mean if you just mean. You mean with husband number one, get mean with husband number two, and you really mean with number three, because you keep telling number three what number one and number two did that made you so mean. Sooner or later, y'all, you got to let your circumstances make you better, not bitter. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. I'm in James 1 and 4 now. That you may be perfect. That word perfect means fully mature and entire, wanting nothing. Now, in prosperity circles, we talk about wanting nothing as having all your needs met and all your material needs met. We can make an application to that, but that's really not what that scripture is saying. It said, let patience, the patience that you develop through the trials that and the circumstances that you're going through, mature you and make you fully develop, that you lack nothing in your development and in your character. That all the fruit of the Spirit start getting developed in you. No, we say they're trying to squeeze our fruit. No, God's trying to grow our fruit. They stabbing my fruit. Squeeze, no, God's trying to grow your fruit. Let patience. Don't try to jump off the wheel when the potter has you on there. Let him develop you. Don't try to run from every trial. Don't try to run from every tough word. Are y'all hearing me? Number four, do you still praise? It's a measure of your depth. Do you still praise during your trial? The Bible says that the dead praise not God, neither those that go down in silence. So while you're going through your trial, you can either go down in silence or you can continue to rise up and praise. Habakkuk 3. Now Habakkuk, when you start the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, it says the burden of Habakkuk, that he told the Lord, he's complaining to God about how his people, God's people are exiled and they're oppressed and look like the enemy is just having his way with them and God's not doing anything about it. And then God tells him, listen, I got a plan. I'm going to raise up this nation. They're going to drive out that nation and I'm going to deliver my people and all this. And so Habakkuk, when God gives Habakkuk reassurance that he sees him, when he gives him reassurance that he knows the way that his people are taking, when he gives them assurance that there's going to be an other side of this trial, Habakkuk says, Habakkuk 3:16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones. He's excited. I almost feel like fainting. And I trembled in myself, watch it, that I might rest in the day of trouble. What causes you to rest in the day of trouble? A word from God. What caused you to rest in a day of trouble? Your faith that trouble don't last always. What caused you to rest in a day of trouble? That I know Jesus is on this ship with me. He said, when he comes unto the people. Notice he didn't say if he comes. When he comes. God's coming. He's coming around the mountain. Yes, he is.
If you're going to go deeper in God, you'll have to make some adjustments. It may be uncomfortable, but Dr. Herbert Bailey calls us to launch out and fully understand the depth of God. Order this message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Launching Out into the Deep.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.